Hello, everyone. Welcome to CNN 10. Wonderful Wednesday to you. I'm so grateful to be right back with you for another great day of CNN 10. We have a fantastic show for you. All the news you need to know in 10 minutes. It's also Your Word Wednesday. Follow me at Coy Wire on Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok, and put your unique vocabulary word in the comments section of my most recent post. And we're going to choose one winner to work into tomorrow's show. Let's go. We're going to start with the latest news on politics. Yesterday, U.S. President Joe Biden formally announced that he's running for re-election in 2024. The announcement came on the four-year anniversary of when he declared his current run for the White House in 2019. While seeking re-election is expected for most first-term presidents, that hasn't always been the case for President Biden. And both Republicans and Democrats have expressed concern over Biden's age. He would be 86 years old by the end of his second term should he be re-elected. That would make him the oldest president to ever complete a term by more than a decade. In the months ahead, President Biden will be looking to promote his record from his first term, seek to highlight the strong results Democrats had in the midterm elections, and showcases more than 50 years of experience serving in politics. And while President Biden should face a smooth path to winning the Democratic nomination with no major rivals, the path to president will be a fierce battle. We'll hear now from CNN's chief White House correspondent, Phil Mattingly, with more.
There's no question over the course of the last 10 days, his closest advisors and outside allies have been laying the groundwork and accelerating efforts for a re-election announcement to come on Tuesday morning. That announcement would come 4 years to the day after the anniversary of his first presidential announcement in 2020.
We are in the battle for the soul of this nation.
Now, during that campaign, he took on and defeated incumbent President Donald Trump. Donald Trump, who is now the front runner for the Republican nomination once again. And therein lies some significant challenges for both, but in particular President Biden, who is 80 years old and would be 86 at the time of his second term coming to an end. According to an NBC poll, only 26% of Americans actually want to see Biden run again. If you look deep into the crosstabs of these polls, Democrats, by a majority, don't want Biden to run again. And those are some of the headwinds that the president will face. They're headwinds, however, his team is confident he can overcome. Overcome in part due to the sweeping legislative agenda he was able to get past Congress in his first 2 years, an agenda he will spend much of the next year selling, and able to overcome because of who he will be facing, whether it's Trump or some other Republican, where advisors are very clear. They believe they will have a crystal clear contrast message that will resonate with the American people.
10-second trivia. In what U.S. state would you find the tallest living tree on Earth? California, Texas, Maine, or South Carolina? At more than 380 feet tall, or 1 1/4 football fields, a tree named Hyperion is located in California's Redwood National Forest, but its exact location, well, that's a secret, closed to visitors to protect the 800-year-old giant. Some redwoods, the tallest trees on Earth, have lived for thousands of years. They breathe in the moist, humid air along the California coast, and they can actually help keep the air clean. A man from Michigan believes that cloning these enormous trees is key to fighting climate change. David Millark co-founded the Archangel Ancient Tree Archive, and he's on a tremendous mission to save the Earth with big trees and some tiny helpers. CNN's chief climate correspondent Bill Weir has more.
Since they are an all-too-rare tourist attraction today, it can be hard to believe that giant redwoods used to line hundreds of miles of Northern California coast, living for more than 2,000 years as the tallest organisms on Earth. Now, David Millark and his Archangel Ancient Tree Archive is trying to plant a new generation of giants. He takes clippings from the tops of the oldest and largest, some 400 feet tall, back to his lab in Kopemish, Michigan. There, specialists use a technique called micropropagation to grow them into saplings, and he says that from a single sample, a team of scientists can grow an unlimited number of clones. The problem? How to get them all in the ground? It would probably take an army. That is where these little soldiers come in. They are tree schoolers at the Cow Hollow School in San Francisco. You heard right, not pre, but tree schoolers who attend outdoor classes to learn about ecology and sustainability at an early age by getting their little hands dirty.
Today is particularly important because we're planting some very special trees, which is why we have some special helpers with us today.
Keeping their focus is sometimes tough.
You plant sequoias.
Sequoias, you plant them the same way. You got to make a hole in the ground. You're going to learn how to do that and do it
with us.
I
know how to make a hole.
Good. All right. We need the holes in the ground.
I know what a hole is.
But when it's finally time to get down to it, these budding foresters couldn't wait to dig in. On this day, about a dozen redwood trees made it into the soil. And for Malark, these tree plantings are just a start. He hopes someday to replant millions of redwoods all over the world, using our littlest citizens to help sow the seeds for the biggest forms of life and a healthier planet. As the old proverb goes, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. The meaning may not dawn on these tree schoolers quite yet, but they are proof that you're never too young or too old to have an impact. And even the tiniest of hands can make a huge difference.
And for today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, it's about the age-old question that's plagued scientists and cat lovers throughout time. Why do cats love boxes? As soon as there's an empty box anywhere in the house, a cat's going to jump in that thing quicker than a hiccup. Other animals don't do that. I consider myself a cat person, so I'm really looking forward to this report.
You've probably seen a video like this one, where the millions like it. The internet is overrun by cats in boxes. But why so few videos of dogs in boxes? Well, we sat down with possibly one of the most qualified cat experts on the planet.
That stuff on you, Cam. Schmutz on you. It's CNN.
To find out why cats like boxes and dogs don't.
I think one of the things that we have to remember is that cats are a species that are both predator and prey. So for cats, cardboard boxes can be a spot of safety and security. Nice place to hide and cozy up and take a nap. It's also a great ambush point. Cats are ambush predators and would much rather just sit under a shrub and slowly wait for their prey to just meander by so that they can successfully catch it. A cardboard box inside can serve a similar purpose and provide a place for them to pounce.
Having a safe space for a cat, like a cardboard box, is essential for their well-being.
It's been proven that cats are far less stressed and also less likely to break with illness in a shelter setting if they're provided with a box, because they need a place to feel safe and to be able to hide. One of the reasons cats like cardboard boxes so much is because cardboard is insulating and helps cats not need to expel any additional energy to maintain their body temperature.
And sometimes there's just a simpler reason cats like boxes.
They love to squeeze themselves into a tiny box. And why? It's cozy. It's fun. They like it. The big cats like boxes too. Probably not much of a box left when they're done with it. A lot of people do not meet their cat's environmental needs. They need nooks and crannies. They need places to hide. You know, every time Amazon delivers, why not give something to your cat for enrichment?
Now, back to the question. How come our dogs just don't love boxes as much as cats do?
They don't have the same hunting strategies. They don't have the same need for preservation and a place to hide. Some dogs dig them, but mostly I think they enjoy tearing them up. It's just not a dog thing.
So cats hide in boxes so they can pounce on us? Sneaky cats. Huge difference between cats and dogs, right? That report, it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes about cats and dogs. Dogs will give you unconditional love until the day they die. Cats will make you pay for every mistake you've ever made since the day you were born. Alrighty, meow. Time for my favorite part of the day. I want to give a special shout out to Decatur Middle School in Indianapolis, Indiana. Rise up. Remember, submit your unique vocabulary word for Your Word Wednesday. Can't wait to work the winner into tomorrow's show. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.